Three words to describe today's show. No strings attached.
Yeah, Robin, you brought this to us. We heard from people that have been in no strings attached relationships. It was fascinating.
Triple M's the network for people to run four or five girls at a time.
So we've learned. So we've learned.
Also heard from Fat Man, on the eve of the footy show's back, and they're back in the dresses, and it just feels right.
It was a pretty sexy show this morning. The weird things you've seen on the road. There was a lot of M1 fiddling going on.
M1 fiddling.
Yeah, you the M1 fiddler. Yeah.
And also I caught up with Bernard Fanning.
Plenty on. Enjoy the catch up.
If you're currently on the M1 listening to this whilst fiddling, please stop.
Come on, put it down. Stop.
That's me. They're talking about me.
Hands off it.
While you're listening to this Marto, Ed and Robin catch up, grab your phone, head to redsrugby.com.au and book your tickets for our St George Reds taking on the Crusaders. Saturday, March 11 at Suncorp Stadium. Speaking of Reds, here's one bloke who earned 65 caps with them. Oh, and Ed and Robin as well.
Robin Bailey, your interest has been piqued by relationships with no strings attached.
Well, exactly right, because Luke Boner, who does the night shift on the Triple M network, and he gets calls from across Australia for people who are up in the middle of the night. He's on from midnight
till
about 4:30.
Let's remember, if you're up at that hour...
Well, exactly.
You might be odd.
Well...
Don't you reckon? If you're ringing Luke Boner at 3 a.m, you're
odd, or a truck driver.
Odd. Yeah, or a trucker, yeah. Yeah.
So, this is a guy called Evan, and this is his story.
There's a chick I know over in the western suburbs.
This was a third girl who was running the service station. You got three now.
Yeah, well, there was at one stage. There was quite a few at one stage, but...
Jeez, you're a player, Evan. You must rate yourself.
No. I just have a group that, we all have an agreement. We don't want to be in relationships. We're all about the same age, in the 40s, and we catch up, and we all have a great time.
But the other girls don't know about each other, do they?
Yeah, but I don't know what they're doing either.
So there you go. There's Evan. He's not from Brisbane, and that's what he does.
But now, Evan's actually said something else in there. If you listen closely, Evan said a group of us and we all don't want.
That's what I
believe.
I heard.
Evan's swinging.
Oh, I didn't pick that up. Because I was immediately sitting there going, well, I'm in my 40s and, you know, I'm single and I wouldn't do that.
How Evan's got the magic touch. If you listen to the other bit, Evan's picking them up at the servo.
Mm. Yeah, which is the other thing when he said
chips
that.
And you want to come home with me?
No, but okay, you're now painting this as being something weird. I actually think that there are people who do this and it's much more common than we think just because you guys are all like happily married.
I had a mate who was young. I don't know, whatever happened to him, you know, this is 15 years ago, but he had a string of them going.
Really? Did they know about each other?
He had a high-ace van, so he was mobile as well. So if there was action, he didn't have to get hotels or anything.
So it was rock and don't come knocking thing.
Oh, God, mate, it was incredible. But it was a high-stress lifestyle just to get, you know, he had to get the job done during the day, then he had jobs to get done at night time.
Okay, would you have done it?
It was such hard work.
What about you, Ed?
I'm just back on the high ace. Like, what? How do you attract women?
with the lure of
just open the back. I just moved these tools.
There was no tools in there. It was a fully set up boudoir.
You're so good at avoiding questions, Ed Cavalier. You never answer anything.
He's married with a child. He ain't always thinking of this.
I'm happy to answer. Sorry, Robin, you go.
133353. Just want to know the no strings attached relationship.
Oh, Kelvin. Doesn't work.
Campbell, hello.
Okay, this isn't about me, but I have. We live in Queensland now, and when we were living in WA, a friend of mine, a lady, she was seeing this guy, and they were seeing each other for about 2 years. But as it worked out, he had about four on the go, and me and the wife put it down to he avoided social media like the plague. He didn't get onto social media. To the point where he actually socialised. He broke up all his social partners into different categories. So one socialised with the workmates.
Yeah.
One did the rugby mates.
Yeah.
And one did the family, and neither the twain would meet.
That's brilliant.
That's so true.
You'd need a whiteboard, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. Kelvin, these days you can't be tagged in photos or you can't have the girl, because girls are desperate to put you on their Instagram account. Look at him. Look at this.
Yes.
You're right, Kelvin. That's the way you got to do it. You got to stay offline.
How exhausting. Like, it's even exhausting thinking about it.
How did it finish up, Kel?
in disaster.
Yeah.
But,
when they did actually meet, for some, how it worked out, I don't know. But it was quite surprising that two of the girls, and I heard this second or third hand, that two of the girls were actually keen to carry on the relationship.
After they knew about the others?
Yeah, they were. That surprised me.
Jeez.
But like realistically, I don't know about you guys, but shit, it's hard enough trying to bloody please one without trying to please four.
Kelvin, I can only just remember my kids' names, let alone girlfriends.
But you're not going for the negative. Like, surely there are benefits to this, or people wouldn't do it. And the other thing is, in Brisbane, like, it's not 6 degrees of separation; it's 2. You would never be able to get away with it. I don't reckon. Stephen of Cleveland. Hello, Stephen. Tell us.
How are you?
Hey. Mate, is it you?
It is me.
Yeah, how did it work out?
Mate, it worked out all right.
Yeah. What was the situation?
The situation was I just had lots of female friends and had people that wanted a bit of fun with no strings attached.
How many?
Five.
Five?
Five at the same time, yep.
How often was servicing needed? Like, how often did you have to see, spending time with them?
Yeah, there you go.
It was basically every one of them at least once a week.
Once a week.
Five times a week, buddy?
Yeah, three different ones on a Sunday.
Oh, that's a big day. So one was in my
early 30s.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not anymore.
How did it end up, Stephen? How did it all
end up? I got set up on a blind date with another lady who I'm now married to. So as soon as I met her, that was it.
Was she number six or...?
No, as soon as I met this person, that was finished with a five. We had a fairly good understanding between us as far as if anyone got into a relationship or met someone they liked.
Off you go.
That was it.
Did any of the Fab Five meet each other?
I think two did at some stage, but I don't think there was any animosity between them.
Oh, goodness.
Good stories, though.
Do you tell this story to your mates very much, Steve?
No, not really, because most of them don't believe you.
Yeah. God, it was a busy life, wasn't it?
Busy Sunday, mate.
Busy big Sunday.
Yeah, it's meant to be the Sabbath. It's meant to be rest day, not for Stephen.
Start on. Steve, can you just go through, what did Sunday look like? Like, out of bed early, obviously. Was there a training one? Like, did you go for a run with one of them? Or what was out of...
No, mate, most of this was done at night, after work.
Right.
Yeah, you knock off work early, get a phone call, get a message to go and see someone on the way home.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And then what, did you get a text from one while you were still with the other one and then you'd say, see ya, I'm going...
A text.
Well, okay, a call? Like, how...
I'd just get a phone call,
Okay. Mm-hmm.
On the home phone.
Wow.
This is Steve. I'm currently servicing. Leave a message and I'll get to you next.
133353, have you ever been in a relationship with no strings attached? Are you still in one? Gee, that'd be interesting if you're still doing it.
Oh.
You're loving this, boys. Look at you. Oh, vicariously living.
That's pretty great.
That just sounded evil. And
let's get straight to Ricky from Crestmead.
Ricky.
Yeah, I had three on the go, but this was a long time ago before I met my lovely wife who I'm married to now. But it was everybody knew about each other. It wasn't so much about the jiggy jiggy afterwards. It was more like a date. You know, like they'd ring us up, what are you doing? Do you want to go to the movies? Yep, sure. Do you want to go to dinner? Yep, sure. And it was and then my wife came along and everybody was on the understanding that like the previous caller, if you meet somebody and want to end it with everybody else, then that's fine. There's no animosity. But yeah, it worked out well. I had a set of rules, and they all had their rules. And
what were the rules? Tell me the rules.
Well, no, it was no emotional attachment. So basically, it was just a friendship. So there was no, I don't want moonlit. Romantic walks down the beach or anything like that. But if you want to go to the movies and have dinner and then back to your joint or my joint and see what happens, then that's fine. But it was never, there was always, everybody was on the same page or everybody had the same understanding that, this is what it is. We don't know it. Nobody wants anything more than that. Yeah, and I mean,
How old were you, Ricky?
Mid to late 20s.
Must have been a hell. Did it make life really busy?
No, not really.
Okay.
You know, like, I mean, some nights you get home from work and there'd be no messages on the machine or no phone calls or anything like that, so you just sit down and have a beer and watch telly for the night, you know?
That's a good old days, isn't it? You get home and see the blinking light, you know? Oh, geez, I got three messages.
Yeah, come on.
That's fun, Ricky. All right, Nicole from Ipswich. Ah, a girl. Excellent. All right, Nicole, what was your situation with these no-strings-attached relationships?
Well, I've been listening to all of these gentlemen call, and I just wanted to let everybody know that things aren't always as they seem.
Ooh,
what do you mean?
Why?
Well, we had a friend for a very long time, and he was, I would say, not overly attractive, not overly charming, but he always seemed to turn up to parties and barbecues and family events with the most beautiful girls on his arm, and they were constantly changing. And we just thought, well, he just can't settle down. Why are these girls coming and going?
Big hands.
And years later, we bought a computer off of him, searching through the computer, deleting things we didn't need, and found that they were actually all escorts.
Oh, he had to buy them.
Not buy, rent.
Well, look, yeah, they were beautiful girls. They all seemed very intelligent.
Nice.
Getting their way through uni. Yeah.
And what have we learned there? Cover your tracks. Always cover your tracks.
Don't sell your computer to friends.
Okay, Tony.
Tony Daisy Hill, wrap it up, mate. Was it you?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate.
Hey, good, mate.
Yeah, just following on from the Tinder conversation last week that we had.
Yeah.
3 plus 2.
What?
5.
Three in Queensland. I go back to WA quite often, so I've got 2 on the go over there as well.
No.
Footy's back on TV now, so I've pulled the pin on it all. Yeah. I've got something to do, but in the time the
cricket season
was around, I was flat out like a Taliban tunnel digger, I tell you.
Wow, cricket season only. That's good. Be all right for a FIFO, wouldn't it? Because you can go missing as a FIFO. Where were you? Oh, I was working. Yeah. You could just.
Yeah.
But do you notice, though, there are no women ringing so that they could do it? I think it would be really tough as a woman to pull that off.
They're not as proud of it, I don't think.
Oh, well, that's true, too. I can imagine that, you know, guys can kind of do that and women really wouldn't.
Yeah, women waiting everywhere for Tony to get back to off season.
When's the grand final? Oh, September.
Don't forget to vote right now, triplem.com.au for Best of Brisbane. This week we've been looking for Best Sporting Club in Brisbane. I can tell you, Marto, at the moment, 26% of Valleys Rugby League Club is going to win as it sits. You've got to vote, though, to change that. triplem.com.au is where you go to do that. Ed Cavalli?
Yeah, that's right. Go the Broncos tonight. And go Tony. Just go Tony. Whatever it is that you're doing in life, Tone.
Best lonely guy. Yeah. Main opening night of the season, just on his own on the lounge. Thank God that's over.
We're with you, Tone.
Christ on a bike, it is back.
This is Birdie 360. NRL. Gold Coast. Australia. This is Birdie 360.
If he needs any further identification, former Origin star Robin, he's an NRL star, Australian Kangaroo. Of course, he played with the Sharks,
yes,
who won the premiership. Okay. He left them before they won the premiership. But Birdie's there. We haven't spoken to you a while. How are you, mate?
Hey, guys, Birdie here. I was taking his call, reverse charges and that. I see you saying, Robin.
Hi, Birdie.
How you going, love? You are sitting there. I feel sorry for you. I had to play with Paul Gallen, who is one of the blue flogs of the whole universe, and Fafita and now with all these leg tats. Yeah. But you've got to sit next to two of the biggest flogs that God ever put breath in here. Okay, I played 2 seconds for the Wallabies in 1841 and I was a complete dud. Yeah. Oh, who's the big nose idiot with the red jacket trying to flog Toyotas? I'm not buying a Toyota, you flog.
Okay. Birdie, do you miss Australia?
Nah, mate, I'm bloody grouse over here, just having a water, hang on a sec. There's a water. Birdie's living in France, just like playing footy, and the key in France is you got to stay refreshed, just stay refreshed.
Is that champagne?
And it's a French sports drink called Le Powerade Champagne. And what on Miss Australia. Jeez, I'm thirsty. What on Miss Australia. There we go. Just having a water. Sit around watching Casey Donovan eat spiders. Mate, I've gone full birdies going, I've embraced the culture over here. I got a bike like a Wolfner, and I just go, well, I got a wussy hat called a Barrett.
Barrett,
oh, sorry. Jeez. I'm thirsty.
Bertie, there's heaps of Aussies over there. Do you see any of the other Aussies?
Oh, yeah, mate. Yeah. I see all the good blokes, mate. Benny Barber, he's come over here. Yeah. Epic Bender Crew. What Epic Bender Crew, we call that. I'm not part of that. Yeah. You got Joel Monahan. What a good bloke he is. I tell you what he can do with pate, I can't mention in this time slot.
Okay.
And then you got me old mucker, Todd Carney. Don't give me a shout out, Todd Carney. Bertie, tell you one thing. If you're in France and Todd Carney offers you a bubbly, you don't take it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I'll say another one.
Oh, you had enough.
You got to talk about the season.
That's okay.
We love it when people ring and tell us what they've seen on the road, and that applies to Glenn from Glenn Wright Painting out there at Springfield. Glenn.
Marto, how are you?
What have you seen, mate? You're telling our producers you've seen something out on the road.
Mate, I had to call in straight away. I'm cruising up the N1. We're sitting on 100. I glance on over at this car, and there's a lady sitting in the front seat breastfeeding her baby. And so the baby's unrestrained. And then old mate's eating his breakfast with a spoon as we're cruising up the highway. I'm like, are you guys serious? Just take it another half an hour at home. Get your shit together.
Who's driving? Glenn, who was driving? The baby, I suppose.
The male. No, the male's driving. And the partner is breastfeeding the baby as they're driving.
Glenn, he's got a bowl of cereal and he's got a spoon in one hand and trying to steer with the other hand.
Yes, and his baby is unrestrained in his wife or partner's arms getting breastfed. Are you kidding?
Was it a small child or was it a wiggler who could have, you know?
Was he 18?
Well, no, he wasn't 18 or 4 or anything like that. No, look, there was a sheet over it, so I couldn't exactly see. And as you can say, we're going at 100 up the highway, but it's quite distressing. Like, I'm a father of 4, and I couldn't imagine anything worse than if something was to happen, you know?
Yeah, I hear you, Glenn. That is a very odd thing to see on the roads. Glenn from Glenn Wright.
We've all seen worse, though, haven't we?
I once saw a lady with her little poodle on her lap, but the poodle had his paws on the steering wheel.
Oh, dear.
Is that bad?
They can't drive. They're short-sighted. Yeah.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, thanks, Glenn. Yeah. Paul from Raceview, what have you seen?
Morning, campers. I was northbound the truck on the M1 and just coming up on a overtaking a P-plater, young P-plater, and I just noticed she was drifting a bit. But anyway, went past her and glanced out the right side or right window, and she's got a laptop open underneath the steering wheel. She's got one of those small laptops. Typing away merrily with her right hand and steering with the left hand.
On the M1 doing what, 100?
Oh, I was doing 100, yeah. She was doing about 90. She was a bit sorry if I overtook her in the truck, but she was drifting away merrily and obviously typing away happily.
Just Googling how to drive.
Updating her Facebook status.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, currently driving. Thank you, Paul.
Steve Brownstone, what have you seen?
Yeah, g'day. How are you? We were out at Toonvale, and we were just pulling into the local shop there and saw this motorbike. It looked like it was rolling out on the road on its own. And it soon appeared that on a second look, it was a man sitting in the sidecar driving his motorbike.
Oh,
It looked like a motorbike was about to roll out onto the road. No one in it, eh?
What's that all about? Trick.
That's a good trick. He's just playing a gag on everyone, isn't he, Steve?
I don't know, mate. It's quite easy to turn and have a second look out that way. Pretty close to Two-Headed City.
There's no need for that, Steve.
How do you do that? How do you drive a motorbike from a sidecar?
He must have been able to reach over and just hold on one handlebar.
No, he must have. No, he must have it rigged up so it's got sort of handlebars inside the
controls. I don't know. Yeah. This is what I do not understand.
Do we ask Steve? Steve saw it. How was he doing it, Steve?
He was just up and leaning over, and it just looked like a head on a motorbike. Hey, we shit, mate. That was it.
Yeah. Okay.
See you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Cool. At least I know.
Jason.
Yeah, g'day crew, how are you?
Yeah, hello, hey, mate. What have you said?
Mate, yesterday, no word of a lie, a bloke on a motorbike, singlet, shorts, cruising down about 60 clicks an hour, looking down, I don't know whether he was updating his Facebook status or what he was doing, but he had no hands on the bars, just cruising down Nudgee Road, ooh, doing the texting.
Oh, oh Nudgee Road.
That's dodgy.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It wasn't clever.
At what point did he look up and realise that he was on a road and driving?
Well, I was coming the other way and I saw him. I just took the double take and thought, wow, that's a pretty important status you're updating, pal.
Yeah. About to die.
Yeah, oh, about to die, LOL. God. Janelle from Victoria Point. Janelle, what have you seen on the roads?
Hi, good morning, guys. I was driving along in a four-wheel drive and I happened to glance down at the car beside me, which was a little low car, and this lady had an actual crockery dinner plate on her lap with, like, steak and veggies, and she was eating with a knife and fork.
Was she using a
napkin?
What was controlling the vehicle? Her knees?
Oh, yes, on her knees. Yeah, I think so. Driving with her knees, occasionally touching it with her hand when she had a spare. I don't know.
But, like, what happens when you take a corner or you have to stop sharply? I mean, what do you save, the steering wheel or your dinner? You know, because you're
in... By the looks of her, she'd save her dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the looks of her. Oh, that's great, Janelle. Tim is from Ipswich. What did you see someone doing whilst driving, Tim?
Yeah, mate, I was going down the M1, my wife and I, and then I looked over at this van, wife and husband driving, four kids in the back, and they were all singing along, and I noticed that the driver was actually playing guitar.
Sorry, you shouldn't laugh.
So having a good family sing-along with the dad playing guitar and four kids potentially, you know, crashing.
Oh, God. It had to be a van, didn't it?
Oh, mate, it did. There was even a hat in the back, so that made it even better.
Oh, lovely. No harmonica or anything?
Not that I saw, but, you know, you never know.
The modern version of the Von Trapps.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Tim.
Hey, can we mention, well, there's something we can't put to air before we go to Tom. How do we put this? Six people have called in. Now, this has been our most frequent things. We can't talk about it on air, but... Barbecuing alone,
whilst driving.
Yeah. Whilst driving,
handy
people
thing to take on a picnic.
Pleasure.
Yes, there we go.
Men pleasuring themselves.
Says here one bloke was eating a burger while doing it.
While doing that as well.
Yep.
Weirdos.
That's talent. That's what that is.
The burgers are better inside my Ford Focus. Just watch out for some of the sauces. Tom is from Redland Bay.
Tom.
How are you, guys?
Right, you finish it off, mate. What have you seen people doing while they're driving?
Look, mate, driving down the highway on a nice, bright, sunny morning, and a small car come past me with the occupants helping each other out.
Another one. Oh. Is that's what he means?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, righto, good.
I think a lot of truckies see this. Well, they tell you they do.
Well, they were speeding when they first come past, but about 10 k's later, I actually passed them. They were still in the right-hand lane, and only one was helping the other one.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
There's a whole new meaning to that campaign, that get your hand off it campaign.
Hand off it.
What's worse, texting or that?
Well, Marto, Ed and Robin, it's the new Triple M. You get to think about that.
Well, it's back. Of course it's back. The Channel 9 footy show returns tonight. Woo-hoo. And the captain of the ship, the man who always gets the nicest dress when they're starting to work out the year of dress-ups, is our friend Fatty Vorton. Good morning, Fat Man.
Oh, hello, Ed. Marto, and what a wonderful addition to your show is Robin Bailey.
Oh,
she's our Aaron
thank
Mullen.
Thank you. Thank
I've,
you
I've
so
been
much.
On the Gold Coast for the last 4 months, and whenever I drive to Brisbane, which is often, about Springwood, I switch off Gold FM and on to Triple M.
Oh,
and there you are, Robin. Absolutely outstanding.
Fat Man, I'm predicting a big year for the footy show. I see all three of you, the big man, Bo and you, all in dresses in the promo. That's back to
love
old
it.
Days, mate.
Love
we
it.
Love it.
Fantastic. Mm. I thought that finished in about 1995 or
about
6.
Time.
But it's back.
Yep,
and when they rang me and they said, we've got this great new idea.
Yeah.
said we're going to put you in wedding dresses in the promo.
Oh, my God.
A new idea. Is that right? Yeah. I said, mate, how old are you? I said, I'm 25. I said, well, mate, good on you.
Yeah, but in tonight's episode, does Erin get to pick one? Like, we see you at the altar and there she is. Go. Does she walk up and go, I'm going to have you, fatty?
I'm unjumpable in that dress, seriously.
It's hard to go past Daryl.
Yeah. Oh. He's like a jumping castle, Daryl. He's unbelievable.
Hey, fatty, what size bra is Broman wearing these days?
He'd be a 60 triple Z.
Yeah. I reckon. Hey, fat man, we were discussing in here the other day about Wendell Saylor and golf. I believe you're a sometimes golf partner of Wendell's.
I have played with Wendell quite a few times on the golf course. He overestimates his ability. Just let me say that.
Not Wendell.
I know that comes as a shock to you and the people of Brisbane.
Not Dell.
But he is a wood duck. It's like picking up money off the ground when you play against him.
He hits it
everywhere. He doesn't know where it's going. Seriously.
Now, can you give us a rundown? Because you do love a game of golf. Out of all the former footballers and celebrities that you play who's the best and worst?
I will tell you who the best is. The best is Braith Anasta.
Really?
He came to Monash in Sydney one day, and he drove a ball off the tee that we seriously went about 600 metres. And he said that when he was 16, 17, he actually had a decision to make between being a professional golfer and rugby league. He was that good as a kid.
Who's the worst?
The worst? Daryl Broman.
Broman, yeah,
it
is Broman.
No, I watched him have a swing. He looked like he was having an epileptic fit.
Oh. Yeah.
And the ball went 6 metres sideways, and you should not play golf.
He should just stay in the pokey room.
He should, and in the tab.
It's going to be good fun. The Channel 9 footy show is back. They're all frocked up, and they're ready to go. It's a new era. It's going to be tons of fun. Channel 9 tonight, Fat Man. Well, we should let you tell us what something
that's
on
the
Bronx.
Show.
What's
on
the show?
I was going to say, shouldn't we talk a little bit of rugby league?
Do we need to, Fatty?
That's right. Well, of course, the show's back on after the footy tonight. So before that, of course, we've got the current premiers, Cronulla. I can't believe I'm saying it, but they did finally win one. And out against the Brisbane Broncos. Now, because both of these clubs went to England, and they were both disgraceful. They were awful. It should be a fair game. I wouldn't say both teams are at their top just yet. I actually think Brisbane might win this one.
Fatty, can I just ask one quick one? Have you ever been in a commentary box and been pressed hammed? Have you ever had anyone flash a brown eye? I had this at Suncorp Stadium recently.
No, not a brown eye, but certainly breasts.
Oh, Brent.
Oh, have you? Have you really?
Yes.
Often?
Yes, I caught the eye when she kept looking at me, turning and looking at me. And midway through the second half, I caught her again looking at me, and she just popped the top off.
That's how you met Daryl Broman. Beautiful. It's the first time you saw the double Zs.
She was 64.
I nearly hit her knees, but anyway, it was different.
That's enough.
Fat Man, it's back on tonight.
Shut it up, Fat.
Footy show tonight. Good on you, Fatty.
Thanks, boys and girls. Great show. Good on you.
Hey, something that came through late yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it, is this survey that's saying that 75% of Australians won't hire a female tradie.
Why?
Well, they're going...
Don't trust them.
Well, they're saying 82% of people have never, but they're going if you had a choice, they wouldn't take a female tradesperson. There's not many of them around, is the reality. I've never had a female tradeswoman on a site, on a building site, ever.
Would you?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. There's just never been any. I've just always employed mates who are close to my age, and their apprentices always seem to be young fellas. And
what about you, Ed?
I'm just trying to think. I don't think I have, but I don't think I've ever thought about it that closely, Robin. Do you know what I mean? I just go, oh, well, who can? I can't do anything. So the people that can,
But those little bits and pieces of jobs you've had, he's had his house for a couple of years now.
There's never been a girl,
has there?
No, there's never been a girl come around. What about you, Robin?
Well, my life has to happen with a lot of people, doing things for me. That's just the way it is. And I have never known how to find a female tradesperson because for me, it's about trust. And unlike you, Marto, poor Marto, the last 6 weeks since I've been in the studio, how many times have I said, hey, Marto, what do I do about this?
Yeah, can you start to bring photos? Actually, Robin goes, oh, what do I do when that? And she just makes shapes with her hands. There's this much of a gap. I go, no, yeah. just just bring a photo. Anyway.
Because that's what, because I need people to do stuff around my house, but I've never known how to find a lady tradie because I would do it.
It's kind of a new phenomenon. I reckon it's only in the last decade that there are female tradies. And the thing is, all the health and risk assessments around all jobs, there's no really heavy, dangerous, there are some, but there's not as many heavy, dangerous jobs anymore in building industries. So they should be able to do them because they're about meticulousness, females, aren't they?
We're joined now by the founder of the Lady Tradies Australia. You go to theladytradies.com.au. Wendy. Morning, Wendy.
How are you?
Very good. I'm just looking at your website and there's the plummets. I had no idea there were female plumbers. What else do you have on your books?
Oh, there's plumbers, carpenters, landscape gardeners, electricians.
Wow.
All around, lots of trades all around Australia that people, as I said, had no idea that you could get in touch with these women. And that's what one of the things I was finding the hardest thing is, how do you find them? So I just thought, you know what, we need to take the women out of this big pool of male tradies, put them in their own pool and go, here we are.
How long's it been going, Wendy, and how's it going?
It's been going about 4.5 years now. Yeah. Like anything, I guess, to start, it's a slow build. But the more and more the word can get out there, the more, you know, it's becoming clear that people can find these girls and the great jobs that they're doing. And they're just as skilled as the men. Some of them are even more skilled.
Do they have issues, though? Because these statistics are saying that 75% of people won't use them. So is that the problem? There's this kind of bias before they even get to the job?
Look, let's face it, that happens, yes. But on the flip side of that, I would say, you know what? If 75% are saying they wouldn't, then 25% are saying they are. They will. And when there's such a small percentage of female tradies as compared to male tradies, I mean, we're really only sitting around between 1.7 and probably 2%, to be realistic. If that's a small niche of the large pool of tradies in general, think of every trade job that has to be done and someone calls on every day of the week in Australia. If the girls are going to pick up 25% of that, win-win. My answer to that is, girls, get into a trade because there's a hell of a lot of work out there and that's got your name on it.
What's on that website of yours? Are we every trade? Are we plastering? Are we electrical? Are we carpentry, you said? Everything?
Pretty much everything, yeah. Not every girl is listed on the site yet because a lot of the girls don't have to advertise. They're in
they're
such demand
busy.
That they're booked out months and months in advance, yeah. Mm. And some of the girls have hesitated about putting their business listing on the site because they said they simply don't want to keep refusing work. And if they get inundated with phone calls, which they often do, they're just saying, no, sorry, can't help you. But the flip side of that is the girls that do go on there are great inspiration for the girls in schools. Because when I go to career expos and schools and talk to the girls about career options and real career options and things that are out of the ordinary, like carpentry and metalwork and electrical and things like that, their biggest question is, can I really do this? Will I be accepted? And is there work out there for me? And this is a great way to show them and say, these girls were once you in school. And now look where they are. They're running their own business.
Wendy, do you know the stats? I speak to people about in the business. There's a real shortage of young tradesmen, of tradesmen, because apprentices, they don't want to do it. It's not cool for young blokes. This could be a whole new world of girls doing trades.
Yeah, because there's been a really big push in the past, you know, go to year 12 and go to university. Go to university.
Everyone goes. There's too many bloody people at uni.
Absolutely. A pocket full of degrees is not necessarily going to get you a job because there's so many people going for the same sort of jobs. People going back to trades are the ones that are finding there's work. And the other reason we push a trade over, not push a trade over university, but say, don't forget your options here, is when you do a trade, you might do an apprenticeship for 3, maybe 4 years. You're paid during that time.
That's right.
When you go to university, you're at university, also for
then
3 or 4 or 5 years, and you're working part-time at Macca's or somewhere like that, you know, for scrap money. At the end of the day, you might not be able to get a job in your degree that you've qualified in because there's simply too many people.
Wendy, founder of the Lady Tradies website, theladytradies.com.au. Thanks so much.
No worry. Thank you.
There you go. Oh. And if you, Marto, you would consider it. And you're one of the old school kind of guys. That's awesome.
I never even think about it. But now every time, and I go to the hardware store, Brett's there, and every day I now see a female tradie every day. I never, ever used to see a female in a hardware store.
Yes, indeed. And Damien's called through. Damien, your daughter is an apprentice mechanic. Is that right?
Correct.
There's a tough world, mate. How are Knuckles going?
Well, pretty good. She's actually, because she's very small, so she's obviously getting in a tight spot.
Yeah.
And how's she going with it? Because I would have thought mechanics are really up there in terms of a fair bit of stigma against them.
Very much so, very much so. She's actually a race car engine mechanic as well. And she gets, she gets a bit that, that there's a stigma, and the men will definitely think twice about having her, allowing her on the car. You know, because they think, oh, she just does. Well, she's a girl. She doesn't know. And there's some boss was telling her, one of the best ones there. Go for it. You know.
As long as she's got the support of the boss, it's all right. But so much of it's computer generated now too, especially new stuff. The old stuff where all the nuts are rusty, that takes genuine huge strength to get off, doesn't it? So she's She's in the right business.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but, I mean, as she said, there's always been plenty of big burly blokes around. She'll just grab one of them and say, get that off.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you, Damien. Appreciate that, mate. Oh, thanks for your call.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Story today about foreigners being barred from taking up jobs at fast food restaurants, being sponsored to come from overseas to come and work in fast food restaurants. I had no idea they were even allowed to do such a thing because, Robin and Marto, one of the great starting points of people's careers is often said to be you get a job at McDonald's or even a Hungry Jack's or a KFC and you get it on your CV, and because they teach you how to work a structured week, etc., it looks good on your CV as you get older.
And away you go.
And whenever you go into these places, Robin, you go, oh, there's kids. There's kids, you know, there's kids working everywhere. And
have you ever seen any foreigners in there, Ed, Robin?
I don't think I mean, not to say to myself,
that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not consciously. I was wondering, though, if they're bringing them in, they may be for management. And do we count Americans as bringing them in, like as foreigners? Anyway,
I didn't think it was a huge issue, but you've alerted us to something else.
Well, okay, so Christmas time, I have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old, and I said to the two eldest ones that they needed to get jobs over the Christmas break They have a huge amount of football commitments throughout the year, and really the only downtime they have is over the Christmas break, the holiday.
Yeah, you're a great mum. Their only chance to have a holiday and you make them go to work.
Well,
love it.
Work ethic.
Yeah, I love
that sort of stuff. Anyway, so my eldest son got a job at Sports First in Kemmel, the sports store, which was so up his alley, and he loves it. Awesome. And he still works there when he can. But the 14-year-old, I said, you need to get your resume out there. So he walked through Indooroopilly Shopping Town with 40 resumes, handed them all out. And when he went to McDonald's and Hungry Jack's and Woolies and Coles, he was told that he had to do it online. So he went and registered online and heard absolutely nothing. Didn't get anything back.
Oh, no.
And he was really keen. Now, I do know kids who do work at McDonald's.
Yeah, I know. Heaps of kids who work in there.
Yeah. And I don't know what the criteria is. I don't know whether they looked at the online application. And I checked it. Like, he filled it out properly. And he said he was when he was available. And basically, he said he was available throughout the whole of the school holidays. So It wasn't like, oh, I can only do Saturday between 3 and 5.
I thought everyone who applied got a job.
No way. No way. And it's been actually quite tough because I was really keen for him to, like, for all those reasons that you said, Ed, you know, it's going to give him a structure and there's a certain standard. And, didn't hear anything back. And I think he actually went back a second time for McDonald's to try and reapply because, like me, hassling him, going, mate, show me. Didn't hear a thing. So, I don't know.
That's a shock. I thought that it was rock up and even if they don't give you the job on that day, that at some point you're going to get a gig. And isn't there one of the big supermarkets is running an ad where it's got famous people who say, oh, my first job was at Woolies. I don't remember whichever wiggle it is saying, yeah, I applied online and never heard back.
I mean, I don't, you know, maybe they were after older girls because they have the structure, the pay structure. So if you're 14 and 9 months, you get the lowest pay and then
they
it works
want low
up.
Pay. They want lowest.
I don't know. He's a pretty, you know.
How much an hour are they paying? Do you have any
idea? It's minimum wage.
Was that $13, $14 for those kids?
Yeah, $12.80 or something.
Like, it's hard for Marto because his first job was swabbing the decks on the first fleet.
There it is.
Okay, yeah.
Still got paid in, are you happy with yourself?
Got paid in lashes.
Can I see your number on your wrist?
Bernard Fanning from Civil Dusk. We were out late last night, Robin, Marto, Ed, because he was doing an exclusive garage session just for Triple M on Caxton Street.
It was awesome. It was so much fun. He was, and it was like such an intimate space, and lots of our listeners and some people came in from interstate as well just to kind of hang. He went half an hour over the time that he said he had to, you know, that we said he, we wanted him to play. And he was just hanging and chatting. And then after he finished the gig, went upstairs with his band, and I kind of sneakily followed with my iPhone and chatted to him for a couple of minutes and then said, mate, would you mind just having a little chat that we can play back tomorrow? So I just need to explain that Lefties in Caxton Street, we're in a back room, but you can still hear there's a lot of people partying and having a great time. So there is a fair bit of ambience as I'm, you know, passing my iPhone between us. But anyway, we had a chat about all things Bernard Fanning.
Bernard Fanning, your last gig. You're on holidays.
Yes, for a few weeks, it looks like, maybe a month.
Do you still get hungry to kind of take over the world, or do you just, it's all about the music?
I've finished with that kind of thinking in my life. It doesn't really occur to me to be like that anymore. I mean, I totally get that there's people that are interested in that idea, and I don't blame them, because that's what I wanted to do when I was 20, but I think that having experienced different things, especially in Powderfinger and just throughout my life, it's just not that important.
You're a terrace boy who grew up in Brisbane. Do you come back here much?
Yeah, well, my mum and my sister's still here, my sister-in-law, cousins and nephews and all that sort of stuff, so nieces, so yeah. I didn't live in Byron Bay, it's only 2 hours down the road. Not very far.
I saw you last at Day on the Green with James Taylor. James was side of stage watching you guys. That blew my mind.
Yeah, it blew your mind. Imagine what it did to our minds. I looked over about halfway through the set and realised that he was sitting there. So that was on the first night in Adelaide when it was 41 degrees when we went on stage, and he was sitting side of stage watching us play.
It was like he was scribbling notes or something.
Yeah, he was writing notes down for Moz. Moz started talking. He's got some special way of, he's got a special way of tuning his guitar, and Moz was asking him about it, so he went and got a piece of paper and started writing it down for Moz. So yeah, he's just that kind of guy. Like, they were very inclusive, the whole, all of his band and crew and everybody. They wanted us to be part of it.
Is that what you want for yourself? Can you imagine yourself in 20, 30, 40 years time?
Oh, I don't think I want to picture myself in 20, 30, 40 years time.
Your kids will be old and they'll hate you. I'm just saying.
No, they'll be about 1,000 by then. They'll probably have their own kids. Oh, my God.
Actually,
I'll be a grandfather. Yeah, maybe I'll be a grandfather by then. I don't know.
You finished on, or you played a Powderfinger song, and I know for a while you didn't want to do that. Is that you kind of embracing that whole part of your world?
I mean, I have been playing Powderfinger songs at my own shows, and the songs that I play, the Powderfinger songs that I play, are songs that I wrote, and I basically present them to the audience, either the way that I presented them to the band in the first place, or with a little bit of accompaniment or something, but don't try to kind of do a cover of the Powderfinger song. Initially, I didn't want to play Powderfinger songs because I thought that it was a kind of a weird idea to have just done a farewell tour and had all these people come along and pay to come and see Powderfinger play for the last time, and then for it to be me just go out and start playing them.
See ya.
Are you going? See ya. That's the Black Phoenix, my band, just leaving the building.
They're not going home to bed.
No, they're going to dinner. Okay.
Well, I will let you go.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you.
No worries.
Robin.
Oh, well, they went off to South Bank. Apparently they had a table booked at South Bank. So,
Nando's.
You know. Yeah.
That was the signal. You know that signal when can someone rescue me? That was the band.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, let's go to dinner.
I was hoping that wasn't the case, but yeah, pretty much.
Good on the Black Fins. Hey, thanks to Lefties for having us. Old Time Music Hall, wonderful establishment on Caxton Street as well. And that only happened for Triple M Club members. If you are upset you didn't get along, well, it wasn't for you. It was just for Triple M Club members. So you got to sign up. TripleM.com.au. Plenty more stuff like a Bernard Fanning garage sessions coming up.
Okay, so guys, last night we had the Bernard Fanning garage sessions at Lefties in Caxton Street.
Good night, huh?
Yeah, great night. And you'll hear a chat that we did with Bernard after 7 o'clock. But as I was driving there in a cab, I went past the Ithaca swimming pool, and there was a sign said there that said Latino Aqua Aerobics. What is that?
Latino Aqua Aerobics.
So specific.
I know. I'm thinking
salsa underwater.
But that wasn't the thing that struck me. The thing that struck me, and when I first moved to Brisbane 25 years ago, I lived in Prince Street in Paddington.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So Prince or Princess?
No, Prince, the one opposite the Antique Centre.
Gotcha.
Really steep.
Yeah. Ooh,
okay.
Hell,
and I know that you live in Paddington, Ed, yep. Right? And I know, Marta, you know everything about Brisbane.
No, I used to live in Zigzag Street as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, you know Zigzag Street?
Yeah, the one that
you
the book was named after.
That's there right.
Okay, so here's my question, right? There's the Ithaca Pool and there's the Ithaca State School.
Yep.
Is there actually a suburb called Ithaca and does someone live in it?
All right. Who wants to go first? I'll give you as I know this answer.
You know this answer.
Yeah, I think so. What, Ithaca isn't a suburb, it's a locality. Because they used to split it up, because they used to be one of the most dense suburbs in Brisbane, Paddington, Red Hill, and they thought they needed to split it up. And I don't know whether Rosalie's even a suburb. I think it's a locality as well.
Whoa.
So no one actually has... Okay, so here's the thing. So no one says that I live in Albert Street, Ithaca.
No one at all.
No.
But the Ithaca Pool used to, and the Ithaca School, they're 2 kilometres apart, those two, and they're the only two things that are called
Actually,
Ithaca.
Actually, hang on. Isn't Ithaca School, I should Google this, isn't it Ithaca Creek State School?
No,
I've just done a bit of research, and thanks to our good friends at Wikipedia for that. It used to be a former suburb, apparently. So it was a suburb, but is no longer a suburb.
I'll give you another one that's like that, Ironside.
That
is a locality. It is part, you're right, they used to be suburbs, but then they got swamped and they just became a part of another suburb of St. Lucia. But
it's the same with Indooroopilly. It used to be a suburb, now it's just a shopping centre.
So true.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
While you're listening to this Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up, grab your phone, head to redsrugby.com.au and book your tickets for our St. George Reds taking on the Crusaders, Saturday, March 11 at Suncorp Stadium.